To the elders and young men. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that are under your care, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. Young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older. All of you, clothe yourselves in humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that it may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Final greetings. With the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm and fast in it. She who is in Babylon, chosen together with you, sends you her greetings, and so does my son Mark. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ.
Amen. Coming to the conclusion of our journey through the Apostle Peter's first letter from Rome in AD 62 to believers scattered throughout modern-day Turkey during the pagan Roman Empire. The believers that Peter wrote to were experiencing very testing times because of their faith, because of their allegiance to Jesus Christ. They were viewed as strangers, aliens in the world. They were suffering grief in all kinds of trials. They were being falsely accused of doing wrong. They were being insulted because of the name of Christ. And under Emperor Nero, who would make an appearance in AD 64, conditions for Christians would get far worse. It was hard to be a follower of Christ. It's hard to be a Christian in the 20th century as well. More Christians died for the faith in the 20th century than in the previous 19 centuries of Christian history combined. Do you know that? Christians are the most persecuted religious group worldwide. An average of at least 180 Christians around the world are killed each month for their faith. Last year, 4,776 Christians were killed simply because of their belief in Christ. So Peter's letter is very relevant to the church around the world today. Peter writes for two reasons: to encourage suffering believers and to reveal how to stand firm in their trials. And something we've seen already, how he helps them to stand firm, is the importance of thinking rightly about suffering for our faith. We were looking at that last week, that suffering for our faith, it's a common experience for Christ's followers throughout history. It's a reason for rejoicing, says Peter, because it's a sign that you resemble Christ, that you're a true Christian. And he says that your identification with Christ in his sufferings will lead in a future day to you sharing in his glory. Peter goes on, he says, it's an evidence of God's blessing, that God's Spirit is indwelling you, and you're bearing something of the fragrance of Christ. You're blessed, says Peter. And he says it's a test from God to prove the genuineness of your profession of faith, to reveal your true character and to refine your character. God is transforming you through in the midst of this hard times that you're going through for your faith. He's polishing you down. He's chiseling away. He's chipping away. He's forming in a greater way the likeness of Christ in your life. As you depend on him, rely on him in a greater way, God will be seen in you in a greater way to his glory. Peter reveals further important ways that we can stand firm. We need to be clear-minded, self-controlled, so we can pray. We need the deep love of Christ's family. We need to share in hospitality. We need to exercise the gifts of God's grace, speaking words from God, serving as God equips us with the strength of God. And in this last part of his letter, Peter builds on this every believer serving as God equips them theme. He builds on that theme and he appeals to everyone in the church, the old, the young, and the in-between, to play the vitally important role God has for them in the life of the church so that it can be strong and healthy. And Peter begins, surprisingly, you might think surprisingly, with the senior, the older age group. He appeals to the elders among you. Now, we might have thought he would have focused on the young, because after all, they are the future of the church, and they have boundless energy. But no, he begins with senior believers. Actually, senior is over 50. I discovered that in Shedlixley Baptist Church. They had this services for those who were in the golden years, and you were over 50 if you're in the golden years. But all senior believers are important because of their experience. You have experience. You have maturity. Your example is so important in the life of the church. So we had the young people coming up, and it was great to see them, and the spotlight was on them. But the spotlight is on you, the rest of you, older ones. You have an important part to play in the life of the church. The term elders also refers to spiritual leaders in the church. And one of the qualifications is that they be experienced Christians who have been tested. And more often, it's maturer, older believers who fit that criteria. But not always. Young Christians can mature very quickly. Timothy was a young leader in the church. There are three leadership positions mentioned in the New Testament: pastors, elders, and deacons. Pastors and elders, their primary responsibility is to oversee the spiritual needs of the church, to assess How is the worship in the church? How's the serving? How's the praying? How's the caring? How's the unity in the church? How's the witnessing in the church? And to seek to strengthen those areas through teaching, through leading, through visiting, through praying, through hospitality. And then we have deacons and church officers whose primary responsibility is to oversee the practical needs of the church, the admin, the finances, the building needs. Our church rules constitution makes mention of both elders and deacons. However, I don't know how far back we have to go in the history of the church to actually find elders being appointed. Possibly because they thought in a smaller church, elders were not such a priority, and focused more on finding deacons and church officers. At the moment, we need to find more deacons. We're struggling to fulfill these important roles. So it's important to pray about that. But Peter, in this letter to suffering churches, he spotlights the importance of elders. Because in the trials that they were facing, there was a greater need for spiritual support that elders could bring. So Peter makes an appeal to those appointed elders and spiritual leaders that they be shepherds of God's flock. And Peter makes that appeal as someone who is doing the job of an elder in the church of Jesus Christ. Remember that calling that he had way back at the beginning after his failure and thinking it was going away back to fishing. It was all over. He denied his Lord 3 times, and the Lord appeared to him and restored him and then gave him that opportunity to be a leader in the church, and asked him 3 times, "Do you love me?" And each time when he replied in the affirmative, Christ said, "Feed and care his lambs and his sheep." And that was Peter enlisted as a shepherd. And we see Peter's shepherd care in this letter that we've been reflecting on, and in how he writes, in what he writes, and why he writes, to encourage and strengthen them in their trials as believers. He's a shepherd heart, as Peter. And Peter appeals also as a witness to Christ's sufferings. He witnessed the hostility that Christ faced from the religious leaders. He saw his arrest. He saw his cruel crucifixion. And as a spiritual leader in the church, Peter experienced suffering for the sake of Christ. Peter experienced imprisonment on a number of occasions. He understood. He understood the challenges of following Christ. He understood the challenges of being a Christian leader. He's qualified to make his appeal to the elders. And Peter appeals as one who will share in Christ's coming glory. Peter will be rewarded because of his service and sufferings for Christ. And it's true for all of us. If we follow the Lord and are obedient to him and serve him in difficult circumstances, there will be a reward for you in a coming day. So Peter, because of his awareness of the role of spiritual shepherds, its challenges, its great importance, the future reward for faithful service, Peter appeals to elders to be shepherds of God's flock, entrusted to them from Christ, the chief shepherd of his people. It's a reminder that elders are under shepherds to Christ. They are to follow his example. They are to follow his lead. And Peter goes on to outline four ways that they are to follow Christ's lead. First of all, caring and loving the believers entrusted to them. Then that word overseeing, watching over those believers with concern. And serving God and the believers under their care, willingly, eagerly, and leading by example. Christ, as chief shepherd, perfectly fulfilled these requirements in the shepherding of his disciples before returning to heaven. They traveled together. He shepherded them in all their travels. And from heaven, Christ continues to shepherd, to care, to love, to watch over, to serve, and to lead his people around the world. How does he do that? He does that through his Spirit indwelling every believer. He does that through his inspired word, the Bible. He does that through these under-shepherds that we've been thinking about this morning, spiritual leaders who he has appointed. What a wonderful shepherd God's people have. Are you aware of that? He's not inactive. So you can't see him. He's not inactive. He's your shepherd. Every day, he's your shepherd. What a wonderful shepherd you have. And there's the importance of Christ's sheep, of being attentive and responsive to God's Spirit and to his word and to the shepherds that he gives us. And the important role of pastors and elders among the body of church for its care, for its strengthening, for its instruction, for its growth, for its maturity. We need to pray that Christ, the chief shepherd, would raise up, provide more shepherds in his church around the world and here at HBC for our greater strengthening. And then from older believers, Peter then appeals to younger believers to be submissive to their elders, submissive to their spiritual leaders, submissive to all who are older in the church, submissive to all who are older in society. Now that's a thought, isn't it? Christians at the time of Peter's letters were accused of being rebellious against societal norms for the reason that they refused to worship the pagan gods like everyone else. The accusation of rebelliousness was untrue, but people believed it. In light of that, how important it was for believers to demonstrate all the more that it was not the case. Show respect, says Peter, to all who are in authority, be they bad bosses, bad rulers, bad husbands. As we all know from experience, in growing up, young people go through a phase where they question authority. Why do I have to do this or that? I don't need anyone to tell me what to do. I know better. All of us went through that phase. Thankfully, that rebellious phase passes and they turn into lovely adults. So in that, what's Peter saying here to the young people? He's saying, look, in that questioning, asserting their independence phase, Christian young people have a wonderful opportunity to display the countercultural work of the Holy Spirit, the likeness of Christ to the culture, by showing respect and submission to their seniors. Arashi, you're the only young person here. You're getting it today, Arashi. And you are Arashi, actually. As I hear your school reports from your teachers, the respect that you have, keep it up, Arashi. It's a witness. It's a witness. That's why, you know, it's a commendable quality. And then Peter widens it. He widens it. So I've got a picture here of all of us. He widens his field of vision to include every member of the church, irrespective of age, gender, position, no position. He tells them to do seven things that will enable them in their trials to experience God's favor and strength and peace and protection. I'm just going to go through it quickly, just bullet points, summarize these seven things. Be humble towards one another. That's the first thing. Why should we be humble? Peter gives a reason. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor and grace to the humble. So if you want to experience God's favor, humble yourself under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. What a promise for believers to hold on to in all circumstances. Secondly, be not anxious. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Thirdly, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Be resistant of the devil's advances. Resist him. Be strong in the faith, standing firm in the faith. Be aware of the big picture, because you know that the family of God, believers throughout the world, is undergoing the same kind of circumstances. You are not alone in facing this, in going through this. That's why it's so good to read biographies of God's people in the past, and the languages may be a little bit different, but they've gone through it. Similar experiences. And it's good for us to read about that. And if God's people, suffering people, do these things, the God of grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered for a while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. What a promise to hold on to. What a promise it was to Peter. From personal experience, he could testify to the power of Christ's restoration as a result of pride and weakness in faith and lack of alertness and lack of a sober mind. Peter suffered the failure, the shame of denying his Lord, and he wept bitterly. But Christ, his good shepherd, did not abandon him and came to him in his brokenness, invited him to follow him again. And in humility, in renewed faith, Peter did so. And Christ restored him and made him strong and firm and steadfast. And Christ can do the same for us. He can restore us at any time. God is a God of restoration. Revivals are a supernatural, special work of God. We might not experience that as much as we would love that, but we can all experience restoration. All of us. And then we come to Peter's final greeting in his letter. First of all, he acknowledges the help of Silas, a faithful brother in writing this letter. The gift of helps is a specific spiritual gift mentioned in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. The Holy Spirit is called our helper. To be a helper in the church is of great value. A helper. To help is such a wonderful gift. And then Peter highlights the purpose. We've seen that already. To encourage suffering believers. To bear witness. He's saying to them, what I've written is the true grace of God. You can stand firm in it. Then Peter sends greetings from she who is in Babylon. Who is that? It's an alias given to the suffering church at Rome to protect them. In times of persecution, writers exercised unusual care not to endanger Christians by identifying them. The persecuted church in Rome is described as chosen together with the wider church of Jesus Christ. Highlights to us that the suffering church around the world are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to care and support them in their time of need. Then Peter's son, Mark, also sends greetings. Not his biological son, but spiritual son, John Mark. Tradition indicates that Peter helped him write the Gospel of Mark. This is the same Mark who once failed Paul, but later became useful again for ministry. Stressing again to us that God is a wonderful God of restoration and grace. And God can give us fresh and new opportunities for service. Even though we've maybe been through a barren period, God's a God of restoration. And then Peter's final greetings. Greet one another with a kiss of love. We looked at that last Sunday in our evening service. What's he saying through this? Despite our differences, our weaknesses, our failings as brothers and sisters in Christ's family, we're to love one another. We're to accept one another. We're to forgive one another. Because that's how God treats all of his children, including us, imperfect though we are. And he wants us to greet one another in the same way, represented by this image of a kiss, with sincere, affectionate love in all our dealings with one another, in our words, in our actions, with sincere, affectionate love. And then finally, peace to all of you who are in Christ. Don't forget that bit at the end. That's the crucial bit. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. In Christ, that's the most common title of a Christian in the Bible. In Christ. And having received Christ through faith, we are spiritually joined to him forever, which means that we've been blessed with every kind of spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And one of the most precious blessings is that we are at peace with God. We were far off. We were in darkness. God was merciful to us. And he brought us near to God, to be at peace with God because of the sacrifice Christ made for us on the cross. And how we should rejoice in that. Marvel that we are at peace with God. And that we can experience his peace in our hearts. Life is like a restless sea. But we can experience God's peace. And yes, the waters on the surface may be choppy. But under, we experience God's peace. We can experience God's peace. A peace that can pass all understanding. Wonderful, God's wonderful peace. Peace with God. Being indwelt by his Spirit. And we can experience his peace. The peace of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. So today, we're learning today the important role all ages in the church, the young, the old, and the in-between, that we can play in making our church family strong and healthy. All of us. All of us. You may think, I don't feel particularly healthy. Physically, I feel quite old. I feel quite weak. I don't have much that I can offer to the church. Don't believe a word of it. Don't believe a word of it. Because God's Spirit, our body is aging and decaying, but God's Spirit, we can be young on the inside. And we can play an important role in the life of the church.